Hey, good morning, church. Great to be back with you today, and what a beautiful day outside it is. You know, I know people all over the nation who are hot right now, and I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for what I woke up to this morning, and praising God to be back with you as a church. You know, I was listening to the words of that song and singing with you, "You are worthy of it all, Lord. You are worthy of our song." That is why we are here this morning. Can we give the Lord a hand today and just thank Him for who He is? And yeah, I am glad to be back. If you're a guest with us today, my name's John, and I'm the lead pastor here, and I was out for 2 Sundays, 1 week, but 2 Sundays, and that's like 3 weeks in worship land, you know, so where we don't see one another. And I was actually in Costa Rica. We had an extended family trip that had been planned all the way back in COVID with my mom and my sister and my brother's family and my whole family. And my mom came to us with a deal. "Hey, if I pay the way and pay for lodging, would you pay for food and fun?" And we were like, "We're sold, Mom. We're in." And we just had an amazing, amazing time together. And it was just wonderful. It was good to get away and good just to be a part of God's great creation and in another country and just see the Lord at work around the world. So, but it's good to be back with you today. And I'm sure you can tell I was in Costa Rica from my tan, correct? Why are you laughing? You know, I lived in Hawaii for 7 years, and this is as tan as I get. I just have shades of red, and that's kind of what I do. But we're in this message series this summer. We're calling it Summer Playlist, where different speakers and pastors are sharing some of their greatest hit passages, topics, and verses. And I know for the last 2 Sundays, we had Pastor Bob, who's in the back over there, and Pastor Jason, and thankful for both of them. Pastor Bob, he's a retired pastor in our area and serves and helps out many different churches, and he's a part of our church family, so we're so blessed to have him right here in our home as a part of our family. And Pastor Jason from Catalyst, I consider Catalyst one of our sister churches in town, and just so thankful for his ministry and his continued impact in our church. And they talked about fear and anger and just hit home runs. I just talked to so many people that were touched by their messages. And today, we are going to be talking about really what it means to live in God's will when we come to critical decision moments in life. Anybody have some decisions to make in life right now? But before we get there, I do have some church news I want to share, keep us all up to date with one another. First of all, you saw the video from our summer camp for students, and we just continue to praise God for how He works. And I want to say thank you to everyone who prayed for our students at camp and people who gave to help get students to camp. And isn't it great to hear the reports of how God is on the move in the lives of students? And then not only that, today we get to go to Mother's Beach after the second worship celebration today. We're just going to head on over there, and we have about 15 people getting baptized. And so it's just as exciting to see what the Lord is doing in lives as people are following Him. And then on the worship pastor search front, after a whole lot of prayer and a whole lot of interviews, and when I say a lot of interviews, I mean a lot of interviews and second interviews and third interviews. We had well over 50 very qualified people who applied for our role for our permanent worship pastor position. But it's my joy and honor today to announce that we have called Pastor Jacob Wood to be the future worship pastor of Encounter Church Family. He was here. Yeah, praise the Lord. He was here a few weeks ago. Just a few things about Jacob. Jacob is currently serving as the young adult worship pastor at Westlake Community Church, where he's been in that role for 7 years. At the same time, he's been leading the youth ministry in worship. He has raised up a number of worship leaders already in just a short time of being in ministry. He was actually pivotal in starting the young adult ministry at that church, and it grew from 0 to over 300 in just a short amount of time. And it's just been exciting to see how the Lord's used him. He's actually been a worship leader for 10 years. We love his shepherd's heart. We love the fact that he just oozes a love for Jesus Christ. You talk to Jacob and you hear how much he loves the Lord. Plus, he has a heart for reaching the nations with the gospel. It just pours out of who he is. is. He's engaged to his fiance, Sierra. I think we have a picture of the two of them. And they are going to be getting married at the end of September. How exciting. He's locally raised. He was raised at Missionary Church right here in our neighborhood. And Jacob, he's incredibly talented musically. He's an incredible worship leader. But what we love about him the most is his love for the Word, his love for the Lord, and his love for people. It is that simple, really. And he's going to be starting with us at the end of August, and so we'll be looking forward to that. But in the meantime, we need to say a little bit of a thank you today, even though it's not his last Sunday with us, for Pastor Jason Schaefer, who's been our interim worship pastor. So he's... I know he can hear that in the back. He has been serving as our interim worship pastor for 15 months now. I don't know if you've added the months, but that's how long he's been doing it. And it is his prayer to continue an interim worship pastor work and that God would lead him to another church that's in transition and maybe possibly even in crisis that he can come and just minister in. And we're so thankful that he's willing to be a handoff to Pastor Jacob. Here as the two seasons kind of share with each other. So lots to praise God for. But before I jump into the message specifically today, I thought, you know, I should give you some insights into Pastor John, your lead pastor in the summer, because there are two things I do every summer that really feed my soul, which in the end, I pray serves your soul. And those two things are this. One, I get away with my family just for some time of renewal and just some time away to recharge my heart and my most important relationships. I also take some time in the summer where I'm not on vacation, but I'm just digging into God's Word and seeking Him for the message series that we have coming up into the fall and even into the new year. And I just dive into God's Word in a really dedicated way on some weeks where I'm not actually speaking on Sunday, to be able to do that in greater depth. And those two things feed my soul so much, and I pray that they will, and then in turn, feed your soul. So if you don't see me on stage as much in the summer, that is where I am doing those two things. Plus, I have this amazing privilege to be a part of one of our short-term global outreach teams to Honduras with Melissa and Billy over here who are leading that. I'll be doing that with my son, Josh, and that's at the beginning of August, and there's a team of nine going, so I'm thankful to do that as well. Well, after we finish our summer playlist message series, I want you to know that we are going to be starting a series through the New Testament book of Luke, and I can't wait to walk through the life of Christ with you and the journey of Christ with you as we do that together. It's basically going to be starting about the same time that the NFL football season is starting, but that's just by accident, all right? It's totally by accident. But you really can discover a lot about how much someone's in the will of God by what team they root for. Have you noticed that? You can. In fact, when we're interviewing pastors, you know, I always ask them who their team is, and their answer, it's really important how they answer. So it's just an important thing. But if you're a normal person, you come to different moments in life, decision points. In fact, we could say that in some ways, life is a series of decisions. And as followers of Jesus Christ, it's our heart that when we come to decision points, we will discern God's leading, we will follow His Word, we'll follow the leading of His Holy Spirit at those times, and align ourselves with Him. And I'm sure some of you in this room are having to make some pretty major decisions in life right now. Some might be huge, some might be on the smaller side. You know, you think of some of the small decisions in life, like when your phone breaks, you drop it on the ground and it cracks, you got to get a new phone. You're going to get an iPhone or a Samsung. And if you're godly, you know the answer is an iPhone, all right? You know, it's true. But, you know, actually, that's a really small decision in life. The bigger decisions in life are much more important. They're things like this. Am I going to root for the Niners? The Rams? The Cowboys? The Broncos? I'm going to stop there, right where I'm getting ahead. So, But there are certain decisions that we make in life, and they're simply clear. Like, God's word is so clear, like, you don't even have to think about it. Like, do I share Jesus with my family and my friends and my coworkers? Absolutely. Don't need to do too much digging in God's word to figure that one out. You know, should I be a part of this church family or that church family? If you're new to the area or new to Jesus Christ or even putting the pieces together of what it means to follow Christ. But I want us to pause for a moment and actually think about some of the big decisions that face us in any, you know, life. You know, things like marriage and dating decisions. Do I date this person? Or do I marry this person? All of you have heard the story of someone who comes to someone else and says, hey, God told me we're supposed to get married. Have you heard that before? Happens all the time. And usually the other person's like, well, he hasn't told me yet, you know? I've heard people tell me that all the time. Then there are other job and career decisions. You know, should I take this job or that job? When you're given a choice, should I continue in my current company? Or, you know, should I move to another one? Should I move groups within the same organization and shift my role a little bit? Is God leading me to retire after a season of being in this career and move to a new season of ministry in a new capacity in life? Family and friend decisions, you know, where you're seeking God's will. You know, should I go to college? Which college should I go to? As a parent, you know, how do I shepherd my children in this specific situation and season in their life? If you have adult children, how do I shepherd my adult children towards the heart of Christ? And so many things are absolutely clear in God's word. We don't even need to wonder. But in many of life's decisions, we're asking the Lord to guide us and to give us wisdom and discernment. As we follow the word, as we follow the leading of the Spirit, and some are big, life-altering, major decisions, and some are minor. And this is the reason we're talking about living in God's will today, because as followers of Jesus Christ, we want everything about our life to be for the glory of God, because He is worthy of that as we follow Him. And wouldn't it be great if we could walk out of this room today knowing that we were in the will of God? Wouldn't that be awesome? Do you know that you can? That we can do that? In fact, to help us to do that, I'm going to share one sentence that comes from three verses that tell us three things that always keep us in the will of God. One sentence that's found in three verses that tell us three things that always keep us in the will of God. And the beauty of this one sentence that's found in three verses is that no matter what decision point is in front of you in life, no matter what choice you are seeking God's discernment and wisdom in, no matter what circumstances you are facing right now, if you are doing these three things, you will know that you are in the will of God in doing them. Does that sound like a great passage or what? Why don't you stand with me and we're going to read it? Now, this is a passage I have shared with you before, but I promised I'd come back to it. It's one of my life verses. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And I'm going to read it for you. And then after I read it out loud, we're going to read it out loud together with conviction and passion. Amen? All right, let me go first, and then I'll call you in. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's read it out loud together. Let's begin. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. One sentence in three verses that tells us three things that always keep us in the will of God. Would you pray with me? Father God, we don't have all the answers for all the decisions in life today, but we do have some. And Lord, one of those is that we can always come to your word and come to you and find you to be worthy of our heart and our seeking and our time and our relationship. And Lord, that is our heart right now, that we will meet with you, meet with your living word, and walk out of here living out that word, God. I thank you for everyone in this room. I thank you for the guests. I thank you for those who have been here forever. Thank you for those listening online. And we give you this time right now and invite you, O Holy Spirit, to move. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. So one sentence in three verses that tells us three things that always keep us in the will of God. And the first one is to rejoice always. Rejoice always. That's how verse 16 begins. And so let's be clear, because the word is clear. How often are we to rejoice?
Always.
Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I'm going to share my cards up front here. It is my not-so-secret hope that you will walk out of here pretty much having this verse memorized today, all right? Because this is a back pocket verse. Like, this is a passage you just always want to have in your back pocket, always want to have in your heart and life, no matter what challenge or choice is in front of you. And so we're going to be repeating it a lot today. So let's say you're faced with a major decision, you're seeking God's guidance and God's leading for you or your family. Now, should I take this job or that job? You know, you have a choice in that particular situation. Should I dive into this church family or that church family? And I don't have all the answers for all your questions today, but if that's one of your questions, I have that answer. I pray that if you're a guest today, that you just know the Lord's already called you home to be a part of this church family. In fact, we want you to know as a church that it is our prayer that all of us would be having genuine encounters with the living Jesus Christ. And that as being a part of this church family, that you'd be encouraged in your walk with the Lord, your life with Him, not only on Sundays, but all week long. And not only that, that you would be able to just engage the world for the glory of God. By the way, we live at work and in our families, in our homes, and that's what we're about as a church. In fact, one of the things you need to know about us as a church is that we're just really a bunch of broken people who bask in the unending grace of God. And as a result, it changes everything about our life. And part of that everything is how we make decisions. And so in this passage that we've read before, it says some really important things, you know, to rejoice always. And God actually gives us incredible freedom sometimes in some of the decisions we make. And I don't know exactly which job some of you are supposed to take or whether you should be looking right now, but you can know that you are in God's will if you are rejoicing always. That means that you're rejoicing in who Jesus Christ is in your life as Savior. And rejoicing always may actually feel like a tall, you know, charge to be given in light of all the challenges in life. Because I don't know if your life is like my life. I can have this amazing time in Costa Rica and come back and there can be all kinds of challenges. On any given week, I can have these just wonderful things happening and these challenging things happening. It wasn't too long ago that one of my extended family members was driving in traffic in the Bay Area up north, Northern California, and they were in their Volkswagen Bug, and traffic came to a quick slowdown, and there was a semi in their lane that didn't see the slowdown and ran into my family member's Volkswagen Bug. And let's just say that when a semi hits a Volkswagen Bug and it's going full speed, the Volkswagen loses. And my family member had major concussion, whiplash, other just things going on with their body. That's a bad day when you get rear-ended by a semi. And yet, somehow, even in the midst of weeks like that, we're given this invitation, this command to rejoice always as we're following him, and God's inviting us to have a rejoicing heart, and where even when we come to the challenges and the choices in front of us, we are able to rejoice because we discover that God actually is our everything in those moments. That no matter what is going on in life around us, that He is worthy of having us rejoice over Him and who He is. That no matter what our choices are, our challenges are, that it's in those places we actually discover that He is our everything. In fact, when we are in times of having to make choices and face challenges, and sometimes we find our rejoicing heart getting sucked right out of us, those are the perfect times to refocus on who Jesus Christ is. And so, I thought I'd do a little study and just see how many times in the Bible we're commanded to rejoice. And just at a quick glance, I found 220 verses commanding us to rejoice. And so I thought I'd share all 220 with you this morning. Maybe just a few. Psalm 5, verse 11 says, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you." God's protection is found by rejoicing in the Lord. Psalm 119, "I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil." So the word of God leads us to rejoice like a soldier who gets to run off with the spoils of war. And we can think of it this way. We are all in a spiritual battle, and Jesus Christ is already victorious in that battle. And the spoils of that battle are the riches of Christ and the blessing of living for the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9, "As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting." Repenting is where we ask God for forgiveness for our sin and come before his endless grace in doing so. "For you felt a godly grief so that you suffered no loss through us." So do you hear that? We actually are called to rejoice even in repentance, where when we bring our sin, our brokenness to God's grace and bring it into the light of Christ, that actually there's a grief when we do that, that then comes a rejoicing because we get to just be in the light of Christ and the fullness of who he is in life. Isaiah 14:8, "The cypresses rejoice at you, the cedars of Lebanon." Encounter family, the Bible declares that if we don't rejoice, always the trees are going to rejoice for us as part of God's creation. The pines and the cedars are going to cry out. And part of this is so that we can, part of what allows us to always rejoice is that we recognize that Christ actually is greater than all of our challenges and choices. And that is why we can rejoice. And when we recognize that in the face of our challenges, and as we're making our choices, it's there that we discover God's will, when we recognize that he's greater than all of them. Rejoice always, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, should you take this job or that position? I really can't answer that for everyone today. But I do know that you will be right in the will of God if you're rejoicing in him. And it might bother you a little bit this morning that I'm not giving you all the answers to all your questions right now. You know, should I move or should I not move? Should I move to this place, rent this place, or buy this house? I don't have all those answers for you today. But I do know this. If you will let the tension of those choices lead you into a posture where you are rejoicing in who Jesus Christ is and who God is in your life, God will direct you and you will be living in the will of God. One sentence in three verses that tells us three things that always keep us in the will of God. The first is to rejoice always. The second is to pray without ceasing. Do you see how original I am with my points today? It's just the verse. In fact, why don't you say the first two parts with me? Let's say it together. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. You got it. You're going to have it. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, maybe you're at this point right now where you're considering a change of employment or a different job or something like that, and you're just really asking God's direction in it. You got a lot of different options, or you're not happy where you are, and you're just wondering where you should be. I remember it was 4 years ago, about right now. I had been at the church at the time where God had me, and I'd been there 12 years. And this church in the region reached out to me unexpectedly and was asking me to consider being their lead pastor. Totally took me off guard. And it caused Amy and I to go into this season of just really seeking the Lord and asking for his guidance. And ultimately, through a lot of prayer and through a lot of counsel, and we just decided God had us right where he wanted us at the time. And it's always so interesting to look back, because had I taken that role 4 years ago, man, I can tell you I wouldn't be here today. Because if I was 4 years into a church, I'd just be getting started, just so you know. Amen. And yet, amen. Coming from the chairman of the board. But I will tell you that God used that process to help me begin to discern that there was some other work that God would be calling me to in the future, in his time and in his way. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Some translations actually say, pray continually. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be on your knees 24/7. That's a good thing, right? But it does mean that we walk through our day in a spirit of dependence and connection with the Lord from the beginning to the end of our day. You know, there are some prayer principles that God always brings me back to. One of them is this. The highest joy of prayer is not what we get, but who we get. Amen? The highest joy of prayer, talking to God, is not what we get in our answers or not answers or whatever it is, but the highest joy is who we get, the Lord. The other prayer principle, and I'll never share it enough to you because it is so just such an insight into the Gospels. If you take this like macro view of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and look at the Gospel stories and the life of Christ, one of the things that you see is that we have a praying Savior. How, if you look at the Gospels, we're given 52 specific days in Jesus' life. Meaning you get to look into the window of Christ's life, and you have 52 different days represented in the four Gospels. And in every one of those days, Jesus is either on his way to pray, on his way back from praying, or actually praying. And so if we have a praying Savior, we're going to be a praying people together. And it's in prayer that we unleash the power of God and find direction. And sometimes we miss the greatest benefit of prayer because we're looking for all the answers and we miss God himself. And so if you're wrestling with a decision right now where you need God's guidance, pray. And you may not get the answer yet, but you'll be in his will as you lean into him, as you're talking with him, as you walk through whatever it is you're walking through. You know, some of you remember this if you were here 7 months ago. Doesn't 7 months ago seem like a long time ago? Like January, that's a long time ago. But I remember in January, we kicked off the year as a church family with 21 days of prayer. Do you remember that? And we prayed for our families, and we prayed for our communities, and we prayed for all the leaders of our church, and we prayed for all the ministries of our church. And I look back at what God has been up to in the world around us, and I know part of it is because God's people are praying. When I hear about the results of an IF Women's Conference and what God did in the lives of 400 women, or the overwhelming outpouring of the Spirit in the men's charge day, or the stories coming out of youth camp, or kids coming to Christ in VBS, I know that part of it is that God's people are praying as he's at work around the world. And you may not yet know how God is leading you in some major decision, but you can know you're in the will of God right now by being a praying people, because we serve a praying Savior. And so let's be a praying people and let God be the prize. Amen. He is the reward. One sentence and three verses that tells us three things that always keep us in the will of God. And finally, give thanks in all circumstances. I want you to think about this. Rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. Three things that always keep us in the will of God. I would tell you that rejoicing in Christ and praying and talking to God and giving thanks are almost like close cousins when it comes to biblical principles. You could almost consider them kissing cousins in the Bible. I mean, they're so similar to one another. In fact, though, when you look at it, each one of them has something that's a major focus that just declares how worthy God is as our Savior and as our King. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, maybe you're having to figure out right now how to deal with a certain relationship challenge. I'm not going to have you raise your hands, but anybody have a relationship challenge in life right now? Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's at work. You didn't see it coming. Boom, there it is. And now you got to deal with it. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, You want to deal with it in a way that gives God glory, where you seek His will, where you sense His wisdom and His discernment as you are walking through it. And I don't know your situation, but I do know, and I don't know your circumstance, but I do know no matter what it is, you will be in God's will if you are giving thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And look at the next sentence really closely, or at the sentence real closely. Give thanks in how many circumstances? All. And who do we give thanks to? God. Now, does that mean that we're thankful for all the hard things and bad things happening in life? No, I don't think so. I don't think we have to be all thankful for those. We're thankful for who the Lord is in them. And we are thankful that He is with us in each one of those, and that He is guiding us, and that He is walking with us. In fact, I thought about this week. I know this church, its name is Encounter. And I remember 15 months ago, at least the story I've been told, how you lost your lead pastor rather suddenly after 6 months. And there were all kinds of questions, all kinds of uncertainty. And that was after a whole lot of other things and transitions and COVID and all kinds of craziness. And one of the last things that Pastor Brett did before he moved was he called an interim worship pastor by the name of Jason with the affirmation of the elder board. And I may have the details a little bit off, but I'm pretty sure Pastor Jason started as our, and I wasn't here for those of you who are newer, but started as our interim worship pastor about 3 Sundays after Pastor Brett moved. And I was thinking about that, you know, how when that something like that happens to a church, you know, there's all these questions. Well, like, well, who's going to be our lead pastor now? Who's going to become our permanent worship pastor? What's the posture of our hearts? What is, you know, what are we supposed to do in this situation that we're in? And God brought Pastor Jason to lead His people into a heart of worship and healing on Sunday mornings. And as a church Encounter, collectively, you showed up and you rejoiced and you prayed and you gave thanks in all circumstances. And whether you realize it or not, for the last 15 months, you have been living 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:16 through 18. And here we are 15 months later. And God is on the move in the lives of students and men and women in recovery. Every Thursday night, God is doing powerful things in the lives of people all week long. In small groups, I keep hearing little reports about Dinner for Eights this summer, these groups that are meeting throughout the summer, and just great relationships being built centered around Jesus Christ. In our community and serve days, do you know we had our largest serve day team in our history at this last serve day? As we just love on a part of our community here in Ventura. Around the world in our global partners, we have different global partners that come in and are just here for a while, and you hear their stories and what God is doing around the world. God's in the move in families and individual lives, people who just wake up every morning and are following Jesus as a part of our church family. In preschool classes, oh man, it was a great year in our preschool. You know, there are families in our church as a result of our preschool ministry, and there were kids who got to introduce to Jesus at the most foundational age. Many of them are part of families who don't know the Lord yet, and God's in the move in their lives. Vacation Bible School, all those kids who came to Christ. In the lives of those who have been reached over the last 15 months, some of you who have come back to be a part of Encounter after being away for a season, some of you who are here for the first time that God has brought you, some of you still putting the pieces together of what it means to follow Jesus. He's moving in the lives of the 12 or 15 people getting baptized today at Mother's Beach, and that's on top of the 25 or so who were baptized at the last altogether worship celebrations. And God is only getting started, church family. He is only getting started. And I don't know the answers to all of the questions and decisions that you walked into this room with today. In fact, I'll confess to you as your pastor, I don't know all the answers for all the questions for our church. But I do know this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, We are given one sentence in three verses that tells us three things that will always keep us in the will of God. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And you might be a little frustrated that I didn't give you all the answers today, but I can promise you this. If you are rejoicing and praying and giving thanks, I believe it is in that place that God will give us the answers and the heart for the challenges and choices ahead. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the clarity of your word sometimes. And Lord, we all have many different decisions and challenges and choices in front of us right now. But we just come to you as your people, rejoicing in who you are, declaring you our worthy Savior, thanking you for your grace, your strength, your greatness, your goodness, that you are worthy of our praise. And Lord, we thank you that we can talk to you throughout our day, in the morning, in the evening, in the midst of the things that we're facing, in the midst of the things that we're enjoying. And Lord, we just give you thanks today. Thank you for carrying your church. Thank you for interim pastors who show up at just the right moment, who walk us into times and worship and into healing. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you that we can walk out of this room today in your will, glorifying you. Amen.
Good morning. At this time, I get the incredible honor of leading us into a time of communion. And just a little background on that. Communion is an ancient tradition that Jesus started with his disciples on the night before he died and went to the cross for everyone's sin, yours, mine, and everyone. Simply put, it's where we take some bread, some juice, and we remember and proclaim the life, death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. This is crucial to remind ourselves of this sacrifice because it is the foundation of our faith. It is the foundation of everything it is to be a Christian. Holy Communion is an important way to understand and continue to acknowledge Christ's act. And like I said, it's the foundation of who we are. And the Bible is filled with promises, but unlike man, God gives these promises, and at the same time, he gives you the assurance and the proof that he is there and he is doing it. And 700 years before Christ was born, in Isaiah 53:5, it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." This verse not only reminds us that Christ has endured our sickness and our sins with his own body, but God provided the way for our circumstances. And Pastor John said that he couldn't give us all the answers. This is the one answer that it's all we need. By Jesus' sacrifice, we were healed, not by our own goodness, but by the goodness of Christ. Later in Jesus' life, the day before he went to the cross, he's having dinner with his apostles, and he took the bread. He gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Here, Christ himself is reminding us to remember and proclaim his life, his sacrifice, his death, and resurrection. it's growing up as a child in the church that I did, there was an age requirement and there was a class that you had to do before you could take communion. So I grew up desiring to go to communion because I'd go to church with my parents and I couldn't. And I remember for a while my brothers and sisters stopped going to church and I would walk to church because I didn't want to miss communion when I had that privilege. And that's the faith of a child, and it's that faith that brought me back to Him. And I implore you now to take the time to look at take stock of your own life right now and put your faith in Jesus. There are tables throughout the room here, and as the worship team will sing and lead us in worship, please stand and approach these tables and get your cup and your bread. Take it back and take these elements at your own time. We encourage you to pray either alone or with somebody that is with you that you're here with. I'm going to pray now for us, and then we can all approach the table. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. And Lord, we thank you for taking our sins to the cross. And we thank you for your salvation. We thank you for all that you continue to bless us with on a daily basis. And Lord God, we ask that today that you would meet the needs of your people here at Encounter. And I pray that we would share that with our community, with our neighbors, our family. And Lord, we pray that your blessings would be on all as we enter into this communion. In Jesus' name, amen.